Well, hey, we have been studying as a church, going through the Gospel of John, verse by verse, and it's going so well, it's so rich. If you've never studied it that intensely, it's just eye-popping, like what the Lord, how the Lord speaks to us. We're going to take a two-week pause in the Gospel of John, and because we are starting a church fast in 2 weeks, it'll begin on, I believe, February the 19th. I believe that's a Monday. So you don't have to skip church lunch on the 18th. Don't worry about that. Just put your fears at ease. So it'll begin on the Monday. We've had, since I've taught on this last time, we have had a lot of new people that is unfamiliar with the discipline of fasting. And I call it a discipline. All discipline means is kind of training. So as a Christian discipline, it trains us in a lot of things. But there are a lot of spiritual benefits is the primary reason that we do it. And everyone's kind of like, I've heard about fasting, but it sounds kind of painful. Okay, I'm going to talk about that today. So this week and next week, I'm going to talk about fasting, what it is, and then why we do it and how we do it. I'm gonna tear away some of the veil of mystery from this. So let me begin by saying, what if there is a way to overcome addictions, habits, and destructive behavior instead of simply enduring them? Would you be interested? God says to draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. So how can you do that? What is perhaps the best way to summon God's power for a special purpose? Y'all know the answer. How can we best prepare for a spiritual confrontation with the enemy? Meaning whenever he shows up, he doesn't always pick the best time. But when you've been fasting and in prayer, he is no match for a child of God. Fasting, biblical fasting, involving prayer, scripture meditation, I also call communion with God, and food abstinence, is the secret to victory in nearly all areas of our spiritual lives. It can unleash supernatural power in our lives like few other things can. It's sad, but the American church as a whole has forgotten the power of fasting and the expectation that the Lord has for His children to engage in it regularly. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense as to why. The American church has become a feel-good carnival, a vanity fair, if you will. It's all about big programs and big buildings and big numbers to keep people happy and coming back. In an attempt to make Christianity entertaining and more palpable to the masses, the modern church has little mention of sin, repentance, holiness, righteousness, and sacrifice. How many want more pain in their life? But God expects more from us than simply showing up for an hour of church each week and hearing a feel-good message. How do the following statements mess with your theological paradigms? Let me ask you this morning. Pick up your cross and follow me in Luke 9:23. In Luke 1:50, fear God. How about this beauty? Crucify your flesh. Galatians 5:24. How about this one? Get rid of all sinful practices. Ephesians 5:3. And of course this one. Consider all things lost for Christ. Philippians 3:8. I went to seminary. And these are not popular church growth verses, let me tell you. So it makes perfect sense that fasting has been disregarded in the churches today. People will leave the church if you tell them that serving God might include a little discomfort. Who wants to experience pain? Who wants to force their body into holy submission? I don't like being forced to do anything. Who wants to, here's a beauty, who wants to miss a meal? Sign me up. That does not sound like fun. Hence, you'll hear some pastors say that fasting isn't for the New Testament church. Or they will ignore the teaching altogether. Sometimes churches simply forget how powerful fasting can be. We all forget things. And man doesn't Satan sure like that. Imagine a football team forgetting to play their best player because they have forgotten that he's on the team. What if they forgot to put Brock Purdy in today? I don't know why we're doing so bad, the 49ers. Wait, Brock Purdy is supposed to be quarterbacking. Who put the tight end quarterbacking? Like, to just completely forget that he's on the team is ridiculous, and it's the same thing with fasting. It is one of the most powerful tools that God has given us as a Christian and as one of his disciples, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. When we are not engaged in fasting, we are not using one of our most effective weapons against Satan and strongholds in our lives. Our example, as always, is Jesus. He not only believed in the need for fasting, but he did it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Just kind of keep your finger in there today. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 as well. But we're going to be moving through a lot of verses, so we'll have most of them on the screen. So just kind of stick around in Matthew for a little bit. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted, underline fasted, Jesus fasted, 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry, and I bet he was. Remember that Jesus is our model in all things, and he expected his followers to do as he did, and that includes fasting. Now flip over to Matthew chapter 6. Notice Jesus' expectations for his disciples. And if you have made a profession for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these expectations lay upon your lap as well. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 2, 5, and 16. Notice verse 2, that Jesus expects us to be, what? Givers. He says, when you give, that is an expectation. Then he expects us to be a praying people. Look at verse 5. When you pray, there's an expectation there. And now notice verse 16. When you fast, he expects us to be fasting. Some people do none of these, and they wonder why that they're financially, spiritually, and physically in such poor shape. I just can't figure it out. Well, are you praying? Are you giving? Are you fasting? No, I don't do any of those things. Okay. Let's start doing those things and see what God can do in your life. So let me just say this. Yes, God does hear the prayers of the righteous, and he answers them in James 5:16. Yes, he returns blessings from heaven to the giver in Malachi 3:10. And God also responds to fasting like no other act of worship, we are told in Isaiah 58. Perhaps it's because it genuinely cost us something. It cost our flesh, doesn't it? There is an old saying, if you don't have skin in the game, then you haven't really played. But after years of studying the practice of fasting, and I've been studying it for years, actually it was my dissertation in my last couple years of seminary. I think that the reason God really responds to fasting has to do with the weakness that it produces. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "But he said to me," this is what the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness." The Apostle Paul was a faster. He would subject his flesh, not in a weird sort of way, but in a way where he would subject the desires and the temptations that would rise in his flesh, and he would do it through fasting. So he says, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." And here's the key. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we fast, we become weak and physically. We do, at least initially. And also, we become weak in self-sufficiency. We rely on God to meet our needs for the very things, along with water and air, that we need to live. If we didn't eat food long enough, we would die. Our bodies need food. That's the way God designed all living things. We need food. But well, I'm going to talk about this next week. A special God thing happens when we do a biblical fast. After 3 days, His grace begins to move, and we're not as hungry as we thought we were going to be. And our energy levels start going up again. It's amazing. So one more thing here. Because it is voluntary, nobody's breaking your arm. Nobody's threatening you. If you're not fasting, because it's voluntary, it can become a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, I know this applies to a lot of areas in our life, including our mind and some of our habits and the things that we do. But it also applies to fasting. As we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, we're doing it for God, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You need to be doing this. It's just what a Christian does. We subjugate our flesh as we are led by the Spirit. So over the next 2 weeks, we will be asking and answering the questions, what is fasting and why do we do it? And then also give you some steps on how to do it. So the first point in this message is, what is a biblical fast? This is where a lot of confusion comes in. So if you're paying attention this morning, this is when you kind of just want to tune in here. For many Christians, not eating food or missing a meal is incomprehensible. What? We're not going to lunch? We're going to be late? The thought of fasting brings with it fear, trepidation, pictures of pain and anguish, fainting, and perhaps even images of starving third world children. Oh no, that's going to be me. These misconceptions prevent many Christians from experiencing the joys and the triumphs of fasting. These fears are also not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and a sound mind. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7. These fears stemming from the enemy, yes, but the fears also stem from a general lack of knowledge as to what fasting is. That's why I want to demystify it for you this morning. God says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge in Hosea 4:6. The implied thought behind this verse is that the enemy knows the truth. And because God's people do not, they are entirely unaware of the true power at their disposal. Their lack, do we still use air quotes these days? Is it okay to do this? Nobody's going to be mad at me. Their lack of knowledge is not knowing God's word, what he requires, and where power is found. That is the lack of knowledge. Where do I find these things? I don't know. I'll just continue on in life as I always have, taking a blow on the chin from the enemy, getting knocked down and pulling myself back up eventually. It's a lack of knowledge. I want to equip you over the next couple weeks. Often to properly understand what something is, we need to understand what it is not. Fasting is not dieting. Is this anybody? It's not cutting back on calories. As I tell my wife time and time again, I'm just going to cut back. She smirks. Nor is it starvation. Fasting, let me give you a definition of fasting in the strictest medical sense. In the strictest sense of the word, has to do with willfully and physically denying the body something that it needs for a finite amount of time. But in the biblical sense, it's a little different, and it goes much further. It is the practice whereby we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, humbling ourselves to absolute and complete dependence on Him. As I mentioned, it is a voluntary form of weakness whereby He is made strong. Our fellowship with God becomes our spiritual bread. His grace sustains us while His strength is unleashed. Not our strength, but His strength. Now, well-meaning, here's where just kind of hang with me here for just a second. Well-meaning preachers, I fault none of them. Well-meaning preachers, I don't fault, F-A-U-L-T. Well-meaning preachers have taught that fasting can mean abstaining from anything that's not good for us, such as turning off our radio or TV for a few days, maybe turning off the computer, pausing video games, stopping cursing, smoking. Okay, I'll fast, I'll stop smoking for 2 weeks. I'm going to give God 2 weeks, and then I'm picking it right back up, okay? They teach that almost anything can be something from which we can fast. Most people have probably heard that in here before. However, before we proceed, please know that if anything is done for God and with a pure heart, that God will honor you as you present that thing as a reasonable act of worship. He will. God will bless that. I'm putting down my cigarettes for 2 weeks for you, God. Okay, man, but for you, I'll do it. God honors that. We do it. We do stuff for God. He honors it, okay? It's not a bad thing. In fact, it would probably do some folks pretty good to just lay off social media and lay off video games and stuff for a little while. The TV, you know, I could turn off my TV. I could turn off the news for 4 months. I could turn it back on, and they're still talking about the same thing. Turn it off for a little bit. You're going to be okay, Pastor Rob promises. Practically, as I mentioned already, let's get back to a biblical fast. A biblical fast means withholding food or drink for spiritual purposes as an act of worship done unto God. It is a physical and a tangible way that we humble ourselves before God. God desires a contrite heart, and He responds to such, the psalmist tells us. We war against principalities and spiritual forces, Ephesians 6:12. Therefore, our warfare must be conducted in the Spirit. Fasting is warfare in the spirit, or it can be. Paul says that whatever we're wrestling against has spiritual roots. Fasting is a physical endeavor that affects spiritual realities. Now, the Old Testament for word, the Old Testament word for fast is tetsum. And it means covering the mouth. That's literally what the word means, the Hebraic word. The New Testament word is nisteo, and it means not to eat, with a distinction added for religious purposes. So these two words in both the Old Testament and the New Testament mean essentially the same thing. So when Jesus said, whenever you fast, the word that he used and what he meant was, whenever you do not eat food, or something that goes in through the mouth down to the stomach. Now, for reasons that are a bit mysterious, there is something about fasting to which God nearly always responds. Perhaps he blesses us because we solely depend on him for sustenance. I think he does. Maybe it's simply that we are obeying his expectations to fast. He blesses our obedience. Maybe it's simply that we are, as I mentioned, that when we are weak, he is therefore strong. Whatever it is, there is a connection between our stomachs and control over our fleshly impulses that somehow invites God into the equation. Maybe God appreciates the attempt at exercising self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk about self-control for just a minute as we prepare to finish. Self-control, everyone say self-control. Self-control is the key to ruling over the demands of our flesh. But we are often so bad at it, and we need a little extra grace and help. Fasting builds self-control and allows us to be led more easily by the Spirit, which God commands and desires. He knows what being led by the flesh can do. Anybody remember these two people, Adam and Eve? A little flesh issue back there, didn't they? We're still paying that ticket. Ever since then, humanity has had to fight the battle of the flesh. And if we can rule over our stomach, we can rule over our flesh. At least we can give it a better fight than we've been giving it. Now, some people do not even try to fight, and that is evident. But for those that do, the battle can become exhausting, can it? When am I going to have victory over this thing? I've been praying that God would just take away my anger for years, my anxiety, my fear. Can't he just zap me? God can zap us. God could have zapped Mary and Joseph and put them in Egypt. He could have zapped Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus, but she rode a donkey the entire road, the trip down there. God can zap us, but many times he's waiting for us to say, yes, I'm going to step up. I'm going to step up, and I invite the grace of God to move in my life. Lord, have your way. Take these things from me, and I'm going to begin fasting so that in my weaknesses you are made strong. You will find that when you fast, by the way, if you have a problem with anger, you're going to find yourself getting more angry at things. You have a problem with fear and anxiety, you're going to find yourself more anxious about things. That's that part of your flesh that has been ruling over you for so long. And now you're taking dominion over it with the help of God's grace. Again, I'm not talking about dieting or starvation. I'm talking about biblical fasting, which includes prayer and communion with God. But there are other reasons to fast other than self-control, and I'm going to talk about some of these next week. So as I conclude today, a fast has a beginning and an end. It can be half a day, one day, or even up to 40 days and everything in between. It can include only water, juice, or both. We can fast from foods that are bad for us, foods that are good for us. All foods are only some foods. There are no set rules other than a biblical fast is something that goes into the mouth on its way to the stomach. Regardless of what fasting method you choose, know that as soon as you decide to start fasting, your stomach will be demanding the very thing that you're fasting from. I could fast from green grape juice. I'm going to fast from green grape juice. Suddenly, that will be the only thing I can think of through my day. Man, if I just had some green grape juice, all my problems would be over. And the enemy's right there. Green grape juice. You want this. And then your sister or your brother or your best friends. Are you home? I don't know. I just decided to bring you some green grape juice. The very thing that you're fasting from. I promise you it's going to happen. So just know it now. Where am I at? So regardless of what fasting method you choose, know that sooner or later, when you decide to fast, your stomach will begin demanding that very thing. And also the enemy will be right there to get you to quit. He wants you to quit. This is so hard. You're going down. God is going to let you starve to death. The enemy's right there. The enemy doesn't want you fasting. He doesn't. One does not need an invitation to fast either. It is a standing expectation. However, sometimes in certain situations and for specific purposes, God does call you to do one. And when that happens, obey Him. Other times, He's waiting for you to initiate the fast before unleashing His power toward your needs and request. Ultimately, He desires the intimacy and fellowship that fasting brings. The worst thing that we can do is ignore this powerful tool for connecting with God. And let me just say this. Anybody can fast. Old, young, big, or small. Even those on medications. Yes. Medications can fast. I'm on medications. I've shared my type 2 diabetes story with you. The Bible shows us different kinds of fasts that all have power associated with them. We'll talk about those as well. But just know that everybody can fast. Yes, even you can fast in some manner. If you're a beginner, I've never done it before, I don't know if I can, I will take you through baby steps so that you can succeed and begin building confidence. If you're an old pro, hang in there. You may learn something you didn't know. So next week, we will examine the reasons why a fast is necessary. And the message is entitled, Why Fast? You don't want to miss this if you're looking for more of God's power in your life. Fasting could be your solution if you've been praying for something and you need God to move. Don't miss next week. I want to encourage you. Let's stand. Anybody hungry? Quit talking about food, bastard. Especially that green grape juice. That sounds pretty good.